This is a special fanboy versus review of Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, with Nicole Hill, Chris McFeely, and Chris Triplett.
Hello, and welcome to another special episode of Fanboy Versus. This time around, it's your regular hosts here, minus, of course, our much-missed J.D. Church. With me here today, of course, are Nicole.
Hello.
And Chris Triplett.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, baby.
Who's ready?
Yeah, baby. Yo-huh.
So this is going to be a full-blown spoiler in depth. We're just going to cut straight to it. This is a special episode, so there's no news or anything like that, although there's been a lot of news since we've last all been together to talk about comics.
It's been out for at least a week here in America, so if you haven't seen it yet, first of all, why?
Why?
And second of all, there's going to be a lot of spoilers, so.
What kind of American are you?
I know. go support your new age Uncle Sam. There you go.
So yeah, this is full spoilers. So we'll, but just in case, like, I don't know if you haven't seen it or if you're not planning to, maybe you just want to hear people talk about it. Well, you're warned anyway. Mm-hmm. But we'll start with let's have a quick synopsis to start. So it's set 2 years after Avengers.
Yeah, I think it's 2 years after the New York incident.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense because it has.
It's been 2 years.
It's been two years already.
Time flies. So 2 years after New York, Captain America is still trying to readjust to modern life, and after he and the Black Widow liberate a cruise ship that's been seized by mercenary George Batroc.
I was so happy to hear that name. I'm like, wait, I know that name.
We'll get to him later. So Cap discovers that the mission has had an ulterior motive, where the Black Widow has downloaded classified data that's been held on the ship for Nick Fury. Which has to do with Project Insight, preemptive threat elimination through use of automated mini helicarriers.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But Nick Fury tells Cap all of this, but then not long after, he is apparently killed by a mysterious assassin known as the Winter Soldier before handing the flash drive containing the information off to Cap. Cap and Black Widow, then realizing that corruption lurks within S.H.I.E.L.D., go on the run to try and figure out what's going on. And they discover that with a little help from Arnim Zola.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That Hydra still lives and exists within S.H.I.E.L.D. and has existed within it all along. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
So, Cap and Black Widow and Sam Wilson, who Steve meets at the start of the film, former paratrooper, really a paratrooper, I guess, but Falcon to you and me, they team up to take down the Hydra and their plan to use Project Insight to eliminate all who oppose them, and go up against the Winter Soldier, who is their mind-controlled pawn. And, of course, you know, spoilers, we all know who the Winter Soldier is. Oh, my God, it turns out it's Bucky.
Can I say, I'm just going to say this right here. That's the one thing that ticked me off the most about the trailers.
Yeah.
And about the publicity. I'm like, this was supposed to be the big reveal. When I read Winter Soldier, I was like, that one took me back. And everyone knew about it before they even got into the movie, and it sucked.
Well, I don't think... Everybody knew. Well, I mean, I never saw any trailers that actively blew it, but other piece of publicity was like it didn't even hide it. I did honestly wonder going into the film if they were I compared it to, you guys saw the Under the Red Hood animated movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. It's comparable because, of course, these stories came out at the same time in comics. Well, you remember how that movie just didn't bother to play the Red Hood as a mystery.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because they had to introduce Jason Todd in the pre-credit sequence anyway, because the film, you know, to make it a standalone film, they have to establish who Todd is, so you can't have a mystery as to who's under the red hood. Well, I honestly wondered if they were just going to go that route about it and just be straight up about it, because every damn piece of publicity just blew it outright.
There's I think they did it because they wanted to say, oh, yeah, look, it's that guy from the first movie. Remember him? Yeah, you need to come and see this and see what happens to him.
Oh, no one cared about him in the first one.
Come on. Fuck, he's awesome.
I'm sure we said it on the show whenever we talked about the first Avenger. We had that cold from the moment it happened. Like, right down to the fact that he'd been on Zola's lab table.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but, like, really, what else were they going to do? Because, I mean, Cap is kind of like Superman. Superman's got Lex Luthor, Cap's got Red Skull, and then who else? It's like, there's villains that I like, you know, but yeah. It's like, who else are you going to put in there? It's a personal villain.
The answer was, with this case, it was they took, like, all his other B-list villains and put them in one movie with the Winter Soldier. And that was the great thing about it. I mean, yeah, there's a part of me that sort of goes, oh, did they have to do such a recent story? Cap has 50 years of classic stories to build up. It's like whenever, say, for example, like the Avengers cartoon seemed to already be making inroads to doing Civil War and did Secret Invasion before it did the Kree-Skrull War. And I kind of, part of me goes, you have to just jump up to recency bias. Do you have to do that so soon? But I don't know that there is a better choice for a second Captain America movie than The Winter Soldier, you know?
Well, I know we're still trying to do a recap, but I know more
people. Yeah, well, it's basically done now. Spoilers, yeah. The guys win.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're just going to talk. I know more people that enjoyed this one than the first one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a
great first
movie. It's the first movie was good, but this is a better movie. I like it a whole lot better. It's a fantastic movie. And what's so great about it, though, is like, I can recommend it to people that aren't comic fans. I can say, yeah, this is like just like your government conspiracy movie. This is basically Jason Bourne, is what it is.
It's a spy movie.
It's like a spy movie. It's like you can't trust the government, or you can't trust these people who work for the government because they're not really good guys and they're really bad guys. And it's that type of movie that anybody can see. Anybody can like watch it and get it.
Just because he's got a shield or puts a costume on or whatever, you know. It's just a spy movie that exists in a significantly more fantastical world than your average spy movie does, with flying wingsuits and magic rebounding shields and guys with brains being preserved in computers.
And then I look to the left and I see James Bond. All of that's in James Bond to some degree. Some of that has appeared at some point.
This is one of Marvel's best.
It is.
Cut to the chase on the matter. I mean, it really is. I mean, this is up there, I think, with Avengers and with the original Iron Man.
Yeah, it's arguable. I've heard some people say this is the best Marvel movie. Like, Kilby, when we went and saw it, we were talking about it, and he thinks it is the best Marvel movie. He even said, screw Avengers. He says it's better than Avengers. I don't know if I want to go that far, but it is very good.
I'm a little biased. I like Avengers because it had Loki in it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go that route.
Yeah, I still have a huge, huge, huge soft spot for the first Thor movie, which was my favorite of Phase 1. But I saw this in a midnight double bill with Avengers, so I just saw Avengers before I saw this.
Cool.
Avengers, it doesn't have much of a story, Avengers, but you're not in Avengers for the story, you know. It is all about the team up. It's got a functional story that gives everybody something to do. And it's properly character. There's lots of characterization in it, and everybody goes through a little arc and everything. It's a well-made film. It's the fifth highest. No, it's the third highest grossing film for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
It's a well-made film, but it's black and white. It is. It's very straightforward, and it does come down to just there's. It's kind of like set up. Big set piece. We have it more set up. Big set piece.
Uh-huh. It's, oh my god, they made an Avengers movie, and it's exploding right in front of my face. It's hard not to like it. You can tear it apart, but I'm still going to go back, oh my god, this is happening. I am not dreaming. Bench me. You know?
Yeah. But Cap has a... This is a really great story.
Yeah.
I think it's very well done. Very well done.
And the thing that struck me about it was this, what I was saying about how they took all these B-list villains is it's kind of like... despite being like a really recent story, and it doesn't have a lot to do with the Winter Soldier comic.
Nah.
You know? But short of bringing back the Skull, they really turned this into like the Captain America All-Star Hit Parade. You know, it's got Falcon, it's got Fury, it's got Black Widow, it's got Sharon Carter, it's got Zola, it's got Batroc, it's got Crossbones.
And I didn't even catch that was Crossbones.
Yeah, I caught that the second time. I'm like, oh, why did I see that? Because I didn't realize that he was saved at the end until the second time. I must have missed that.
I don't even, like, I don't know if he has a real name in the comics. I've always just known
he does. Like, I know, yeah.
It's with a B, isn't it?
Brock Rumble.
Yeah.
That's Bones' real name.
And I watched the movie, and I was like, all right, you know, this guy's getting a lot of screen time. Okay, he's in Final Fight. And then, like, I see him, and he's like, you know, he survived. And I was like, why did he survive? He's like a bit... guy, like, who is that? Is that guy supposed to be something special? You know, I never did get it until, like, you know, Nicole just told me, like, right before we started the podcast. Yeah.
So this is my prediction for Captain 3, because isn't Crossbones, I know he worked with Red Skull and everything, but isn't he also a henchman for Zemo? Am I wrong about that?
I honestly think he's worked with Zemo. He's kind of like the hench dog of any.
He kind of works for everybody, right? I mean,
because I would love to see Zemo in a movie.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the one hole, isn't it? Aside from, like, you know, you're down to needing like the Serpent Society or Dr. Faustus to pull out like any other notable Cap characters besides Zemo. Zemo for Cap 3, please.
That was me. So you're going to get Sharon as the love interest, and you're going to have Crossbones, who's going to be big, and they're going to bring Zemo in. Let me ride it. I want that for Captain 3.
If you're going to put focus on Crossbones, though, like Diamondback is another big Captain America character who she's very closely involved with Crossbones. So I don't know if you want to do some kind of love triangle.
But then I don't think they haven't really gotten far enough with Sharon. Hey, did anybody else think it was really weird how she wasn't Sharon Carter? Like, she was just Sharon?
Yeah.
Did anybody notice that?
I had to go back and, like, Sharon, why do I know that? Sharon. And I looked it up on IMDb, and her last name was Carter. Like, oh, duh, Agent 13. I didn't pick that up.
Yeah, well,
I was thinking they were doing it on purpose. Though. I was thinking much, like, just not telling you her last name because, we're just going
to
do that.
Maybe they were going to build to a reveal or something.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, but they haven't been shy about it because she's Sharon Carter on the posters. I didn't check the credits, but I'm going to assume she's credited as Sharon Carter.
Yeah.
So I'm just operating on the assumption that they didn't say it in the film or deal with it because they didn't want to deal with the inherent creepiness.
Yeah,
of Cap shacking up with like his Alzheimer ridden old girlfriend's grandniece or something.
Yeah. Though it'll probably like come up either in Cap 3 or maybe even like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I could see that character showing up and getting a character in that at some point.
But she's already doing a TV series.
Yeah, well, she is. She's a TV actress. So,
yeah.
She's in Revenge.
But it was really weird to see her because I watch Revenge. Yeah, and so when I saw her on screen, I'm like, it's Emily.
But how just speaking of Sharon or Peggy rather, but like, oh my god, how hard in the feels did that hit you?
Oh my god,
pretty hard.
I love that scene, but it's just like, oh my gosh,
because like I'm watching the scene, I'm like thinking, oh yeah, of course they had to do this scene, you have to do scene.
She could either be dead or they could
they could do that, but like I could talk, but it kind of hurts more just to see like,
oh
okay,
my god,
you know,
so much.
Yeah, and then like, okay, this is hard enough, and then, you know, she doesn't remember him, and I was like, oh shit! I even said in the theater, that sucks. I think that sucks.
it was painful.
I was too busy trying to hold back the tears. I was like, oh my gosh, this is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the other emotional moment. Okay, I just went to the movie yesterday for the second time, and the theater was still sold out. We had to wait an extra hour and a half to get into the next screening.
Wow.
And the moment when Bucky pulls him out of the water, you could hear a pin drop in that place. Yeah. It was so quiet. Everyone's just like, you know?
They did play it out really well because, like, there's, like, no music playing, and it's just so kind of dreamlike looking, and it works really well, what they did with that scene.
The whole handling of Bucky of the Winter Soldier is really good. To be honest, it's probably better than the comic, to be honest. And then that's not to knock the comic or anything, but, I mean, in the comic, Cap just uses the Cosmic Cube and gives Bucky his memories back. There's no, you know, there's no little fight to reclaim the friend through the power of words stuff or anything, you know?
But okay.
Yeah.
Because I was remembering that. I'm like, I know Bucky gets back his memory. And I couldn't remember how. So, the little two-parter ending, they showed the spear. Is that, do you think that's how he's going to get his memory back, is through that?
No, I think that's probably just connected to
I think he already has those memories back, because scene, right?
They're not gone, because he was able to remember him in some capacity, so it's not like they've been erased or anything, and he's gone off to just learn about himself, so I think it'll probably just be a sort of a slow recovery of them. I think they'll probably refrain from magic in that, you know? I mean, I think probably, I mean, yeah, let's talk a sec, okay, we're jumping ahead, we'll talk about the post-credit sequence. Baron Vaughn, Strucker! Hell yeah! I remember hearing the actor had been cast, and it was the same way when I saw Iron Man. And when I saw Iron Man, like, nobody knew there was a post-credit sequence, but I sat and waited anyway. And I was just thinking, well, where was Samuel L. Jackson? And there he was in the post-credit. And it was just as the credits were rolling in Captain America, I was like, I thought I heard Baron von Strucker or Zemo or somebody had been cast. And there he was in the credits. And I was like, oh, he's wearing a monocle, yes!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd heard about him being cast, but like I had heard like he's going to be in Avengers 2.
Well, my
and I was like, but like how can he not be in Captain America: The Winter Soldier? So
my assumption here is that I think it was like a fan theory back when Avengers came out, but I think they've definitely got to be playing the gem in Loki's staff as the mind gem at this stage.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Brian, because like we know that in Thor it was the power gem, right? Because
it was
red.
That's the only reason. I mean,
it gave people power.
It gave people power. I rewatched Thor: The Dark World, and it's like all throughout the film, this power, this thing conveys upon you, the power of the aether. We must bury its power, and I'm like, I probably should have seen this coming.
Even the like the little thing at the end with the collector, you know. Yeah. You're just like, okay.
But I mean, I guess it could be the reality gem, maybe, because of the things it does, but who knows?
No, it's red.
It is red, but the space gem is typically purple, and the Tesseract is the space gem, so... And it's blue, so who knows? But then the scepter and the stone are the same thing. I mean, I'm not entirely sure that they had this in plan in mind when they did Avengers, you know. But I mean, people thought that the scepter could be the mind gem from Avengers because he took over people's minds with it. And I'm operating on the assumption Strucker will be using that to control Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch into doing supervillainy things at the start of Age of Ultron before the Avengers save them.
That's another question I've got for you. Now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't those two Magneto's children?
No, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, possibly.
They'll probably not miss, but yeah.
That's the thing, because Magneto's X-Men, and X-Men's owned by Fox.
Yeah.
I don't...
There's a whole conversation just about this one thing that you said from the movie, but yeah. My understanding is what, when they sold the rights to the movies... That since they're so tied to Avengers, they were sold with the Avengers rights, but they're also tied to X-Men, so they were sold with X-Men rights as well.
Like, I mean,
so the characters are sort of split.
Films,
they're sort of split in half. So in X-Men, they're mutants. They're Magneto's kids. In Avengers, they're not mutants. They are not Magneto's kids. That's basically the short of it.
Well, I would say they might just not address it, you know? Because I think that Marvel are probably wise enough at this point that they don't want to categorically rule out any possibility of these things ever getting the chance to line up in the future.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, even Shrooker even said that it's, like, it's the age of miracles, you know. He didn't say mutant, he said miracles.
I thought he was going to say the age of Marvels.
Yeah, Marvels would have been good, too. Yeah, I actually probably would have liked that better.
Yeah. Because that's a you know.
Because a lot of people I know did not get... A lot of people were something like, we stayed to the end of the credits for those, and I'm like, you don't get it.
Go, I know.
Go away. I don't care.
That's the same reason somebody like you get to the end of Avengers, and what is some purple guy? What's that? I don't know.
I'm not kidding. There was me and two other people in the theater that got excited when they saw Thanos. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Thanos! And everyone's like, what are you talking about? And someone asked me, like, who's that purple Hulk? I'm like, what? Excuse me, Purple Hulk?
Like, Cap was like, is like, what, the sixth or seventh movie so far? I don't know what number they're up to. But they're like, okay, they always do this, and people still leave. You
know? I know, right?
They know, but they don't stay, and I think it's because these people know that whatever's going to be after those credits, it's not for them.
Yeah.
It's not for them. They don't want to see it. They know that, hey, it ended Cap 1. I'm good. I'm going to the bathroom, and I'm leaving the theater.
To be honest, though, no, Thanos was really the first one where it wasn't for them. Like you look at them all. Like, the very first one is Nick Fury. And, okay, yeah. So the nerds go, oh, it's Nick Fury, and he said Avengers. And then the norms go, oh, cool, Samuel L. Jackson.
You know,
the norms.
And then, like, the norms, yeah. And then
Sam Jackson's going to be a pirate in Iron Man 2? That's awesome! He'll be the best villain!
Then you've got Iron Man 2, and okay, so it shows us Thor's hammer, and we all go, woo! But then the norms go, oh, so that's where Coulson was. You know, it explains a plot point from the film. Then you get to Thor, and okay, we all go, well, look at Samuel L. Jackson again, and he's got the cosmic cube! And then, like, and then people who've just watched the film go, oh, Loki's okay, so that's what happens to Loki. You know, each of these has, there's a plot point behind it, you know? There's a second level that it works on. I mean, and Caps is just a trailer for the Avengers. But then after the Avengers, it's like, it's literally just for fans. Like, it's Thanos. Because, I mean, yeah, okay, so it's showing the audience who the master that gets mentioned in the film is, but if you don't know who it is, you just don't know who it is. It doesn't mean anything to you.
I thought you were talking about the shawarma part.
Oh, no, well, there's that, too. That's just for fun.
I had shawarma for the first time just because I saw it advertised. I'm like, I really need to go try shawarma.
I've never had shawarma.
I still think that might be the best actual after credit sequence because it's like, yeah, sucker, you waited through all those credits for this.
I loved it, though.
Thank you for your $1 billion.
That wasn't on our cut of it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was missing from the UK cut of the movie.
Oh, man. Because isn't Thor double-fisting it? I think he's got like two.
It's on the DVD. We have it's on the Blu-ray.
I love the shawarma.
And then you know, Iron Man 3 is just a joke scene. And everybody goes, hey, look, it's Bruce Banner. We remember
Iron Man 3 was pretty much a joke.
Oh, no, who said that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, why didn't they use that for progressing something? I mean, that's the one that just doesn't make sense to me.
Iron Man 3 is very much like the end of a trilogy, so to turn the end of a trilogy into a sudden tease for something else, I think would be a little odd.
Yeah.
There's just pacing issues with it, I think. And then Thor's is like, you know, here's your trailer for Guardians, essentially. You and I go, he said Infinity Stones! Like, nobody friggin' right. Oh, it takes some weirdo like me to know who Tanalir Tivan is and go, whatever they say his name. Because I fucking did, like, yeah.
I was just excited to see more Volstagg. I'm like, oh, it's Volstagg.
Always.
He needs to... That's what Thor 2 needed more was Volstagg.
We get a bit of that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if we could, please.
Well, you know have you watched the deleted scenes? They cut out Volstagg's parts. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he had a little more in there, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, they were short. Like, the Warriors 3 were basically not even in that movie. Yeah.
But I don't know. What's his name? I'm sure, go ahead. Fandral.
Fangral, yeah, he's basically not even in the movie. Well, he's like, I'll give you a ride on the ship, and then you guys, like, get through the gate, and all right, bye.
Yep. Oh, he had women hanging on. He had women hanging on, man.
That was it. Yeah. I mean, that's pure Fandral and all. But no, but I mean, I don't care, because I didn't like that guy who played Fandral in this one. I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with him. Like, he was fine, but the other guy was like, Fandral had just come to life off the comic book page completely. Yeah. You know, he didn't do much either, but, I mean, he was just a drawing of Fandral come to life.
I think it was just like him sword fighting when they're fighting the, like, the, God, I'm just blank, Ice Giants. Yeah, him just doing it, like, he just, that was all they needed to do, and I was like, I'm on board.
Yeah, it's Fandral, I mean,
The original guy is too busy playing Prince Charming now.
Yeah, he is that kind of guy. I mean, you know, a Cary Elwes about 20 years ago would have been a fantastic fun.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
could
yeah.
Imagine,
take him
like?
As from Princess Bride right into it. Oh, my gosh. Perfect.
As you wish.
And, I remember anytime I watch, like, deleted scenes from, like, Thor or Thor 2, I just look at them and I'm like, sometimes I think it's a shame we had to lose that, but I always think, yeah, that's actually better, that it flows better in the finished version of the film. Like, the Marvel movies are they're very tight. There's not a lot of waste in them. Like, you look at the deleted scenes on the DVD and you're like, yeah, I see why you deleted that. Yeah.
I'm wondering what they've deleted out of this movie now. You know?
I mean, let's get back to talking about Cap 2 here.
We're just catching up on all
these Marvel movies that came out while we were off the air.
It's been a while since we've done this, people. Yeah. We're going to do a lot
so
of...
Like, one thing I wanted to ask is, like, how did you feel seeing this movie and, like, basically the main villain wasn't really, like, a costume supervillain? It was, like, a regular dude. You know, in a business suit. I mean, he was the main villain. You know, I'm talking about, like, Robert Redford. He basically was the main bad guy. What did you think about that? I mean, did you think, like, wow, this worked? Or, you know, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, the idea worked. I think, basically, I don't really think the film puts a foot wrong. That's the thing about it, is that I can't point and say, oh, I wish maybe they'd just done, or wouldn't it have been cool if they really did it all. But...
Yeah.
The first half of the film does raise some, you know, some real issues in the world today about security and preemptiveness versus, you know, preparedness versus proactiveness. And then the second half is like, no, don't worry, it was all secret Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of gracefully, admittedly, but they just kind of go, just sweep the issues aside to go, no, don't worry, it was all secret Nazis hiding in the government who did all the bad things. Don't worry, trust the government, it's all good.
Yeah, like, the whole what if scenario is like, what if they hadn't have basically done that and basically said, oh yeah, they were really bad guys, we were the good guys, and I'm like, what if they, it's like, okay, S.H.I.E.L.D. is evil, S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing, then we've got Captain America 3, it's Cap versus America. You know, it's like, he's
Nomad.
Not Captain. Yeah, he's Nomad, basically.
Cap 3,
would have been,
Nomad.
It would have been really interesting, is what I would think. But I like the direction that they went to. I mean, because that was, I didn't see that coming.
I mean,
Were you thinking, Hydra, when you were watching?
Oh, not in the slightest, no.
Yeah,
I was thinking. I know there was a spoiler out there. Now, I avoided it. I worked really, really hard to not be spoiled for the Winter Soldier, and I wasn't. You know, except I knew the Winter Soldier was Bucky. I worked hard to, and I apparently there was a soundtrack listing or something, or it might have been bogus, but the rumor was out there for a long time that Robert Redford's character was the Red Skull.
See, I was thinking that too. Like,
when
I was going,
I was like, could it be? Maybe.
I was like thinking halfway through. It's like we've heard that, like, you know, Hugo even does not want to come back as Red Skull. He is done with this. I was like thinking, okay, in the comics he, like, switches bodies all the time. Why can't he be Robert Redford? And that would be kind of awesome.
I mean, does he need to switch bodies though? Remember, his face is a mask, so just put a Robert Redford mask on there.
Yeah, basically, but, like, you know,
a little dumpier than Hugo Weaving, sure.
But I was like thinking that, like, you know, that would have been awesome. Like, I was waiting for the scene. Like, I was thinking, like, halfway through the movie, it's like when they start piecing it all together. It's like, yeah. And they say, like, yeah, let's look into this guy, you know, Alexander Pierce. It's like, well, you know, he kind of doesn't exist prior to like 10 years ago or something. And then, like, you know, Black Widow would say, like, but we've got this listing. Looks like he changed his name. At one point, he was Dale Russ.
I know,
and I
right?
Like, oh!
And it's all within the scope of it, because the original Winter Soldier graphic novel is about the Red Skull hiding in plain sight as like a highly ranked I think he's a captain of industry or something, isn't he? Was it Alexander Lukin? You know, he's put his mind in Lukin's body, and I think if I remember right, you only find that out at the end of the Winter Soldier. Like, the story seems to start with the Winter Soldier assassinating the Red Skull, but we find out that the Skull uses the cube to put his mind in Lukin's body at the last moment before his death. And, like, well, it's like you say with Del Ross, the Avengers cartoon, when it did the Winter Soldier, it went the same way. It was the Red Skull hiding in plain sight as a highly ranked official, but they used the highly ranked official that he disguised himself as in the comics before, Rusk. You know?
I've got a question for you. So could they do that? Maybe a Red Skull was hiding in plain sight. He's one of the Strike guys. Not Crossbones, but I can do another one.
No, I don't think they will. Because, I mean,
you don't think so?
The Skull was like, you know, he was teleported away by the cube, so... I don't know.
I still just want to see Baron von Zemo. That's who I want to see. I want to see Zemo.
I mean, Redford could have been Zemo. Yeah, sure.
It's possible. I was just thinking, like, you know, Red Skull's definitely coming back. He's not dead. We know he's not dead.
No.
We don't know how he's going to come back. We don't know if he's coming back for Captain America 3, but it's just like, how are they going to do it? And I was kind of thinking, because, like, at first, it's like, are they going to do it? Do it? And then, like, you know, it ends and, like, you know, he dies. You know, spoilers. We're spoiling it.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't him, you know?
It's better that he didn't. I think it's better that he didn't. But it would, you know, based on the story they were adapting and the way the story has been adapted into other media before, anybody was well within their rights to think that they could have done it. And the story itself would have been well within its rights to do it if it wanted to.
So, like, after the after credit scene, are we to assume that Baron von Strucker is the head of this version of Hydra? I mean, are we to assume that he's basically the one that was in control?
And that's right. I mean, Strucker as the head of Hydra. I mean, if that's what we've taken, you know, evolved to this point, that works, you know.
Okay.
Can I say I love his monocle? My God.
Of course you do. It's a monocle. Like, I mean, my God, I don't think we got a good enough look at his arms to see if he had a Satan claw on there, but it'd be all that was missing, you know?
They're saving that for the Avengers.
I know. Well,
like, you don't just, like, throw that out in this.
No,
like,
you just put it on there. I think, like, maybe, I doubt they'll have, like, a life force draining Satan claw or something. But then again, I think, well, it depends on how closely they're going to count the tie-in comics. Because they've been pretty good about making those count and not contradicting them and everything. And I think those have depicted Strucker as being alive during the war. So if they need some kind of explanation, they could use that. Or you know, maybe they could just, like, they could give him the gauntlet and he could just put the gem from the scepter in it and he could use it to control the kids. Just as long as he has a wicked, sweet red Claude.
They're not just going to hand him the gauntlet, though.
Not the Infinity Gauntlet, just like a gauntlet. To see.
Oh, a gauntlet. I thought you were talking about...
No, not that, no.
I was like, they're not just
going to
hand that.
I shouldn't have said
that,
gauntlet. Or... That's a loaded word when we're talking about gems.
Marvel, yeah.
Yeah. But, because we're talking about bad guys now, I have to talk about... Right. I lost my shit completely on two separate occasions in this film. And the first one of those instances was Arnim mother-loving Zola.
Yes!
Oh my God. Like, I knew Toby Jones was in it, but I assumed it was just going to be in flashbacks and everything, since I had already pegged the Zola experiments on Bucky thing as being the sore cause of the Winter Soldier. And, you know, they go into that big underground room. I got no idea what's going on. The little
I didn't see it coming.
The little camera comes up out of the computer. I don't get any idea. The screen starts to res and a little face appears. I suddenly twig. And I turn and I'm in the cinema with Jeff. And I'm just like, I just hit him in the ear. Jeff. And I just start smacking him. And I'm like, Jeff! And he's like, what? And then he twigs, and then he starts smacking me, and we're just smacking each other.
I need to go to the movies with you guys.
Oh my god, it's Artem fucking Zola! I didn't expect
this.
It was my
favorite moment of the movie, because I loved how they worked him back into it.
Mine was with the other bad guy we'll talk about later.
Oh, I'll get to that later. That's great, too. I think what they did with Zola, first of all, okay, so he explodes. No, there's a billion potential outs there.
Yeah.
I mean, he could come back for Cap 3, no problem.
He'll be back if they want him to be back.
He's too talented of a character.
The great thing is that he could come back in Cap 3 as the full-on Zola now. Like robot body, face in tummy, no bother. Mm-hmm. Because we've had this little transitional step in between to sell the
idea.
Yeah,
now we've got this... We got this spy movie that's really kind of down to earth. Now we got full on dude's face in the stomach.
Yeah.
Guy with a metal arm, Red Skull Resurrection, and Baron Zemo, and everything.
All of these colorful purple costume. But we've got this. It's this marginally less preposterous idea of his brain being preserved as a computer program.
And but you want to know...
That's the in-between bit. And then if in Cap 3 you can go from there to robot body, it's a freaking hop, skip, and a jump. But if you'd just gone with robot body in this one, it would have been too much, you know? And that...
would have been too much for this movie, yeah.
Not even for this movie, I just think for audiences, you know? I was having this conversation with someone, and that's a microcosmic example of how Marvel have treated their whole universe in film. No idea is too ridiculous for an audience if you just feed it to them gradually.
Because you're talking about him, you know, in a robot, but you know what he looks like. I'm just afraid that the people that don't know his character are going to think he's Krang.
His face is in the
Marvel Universe.
The whole cast, though, not the. Well, depends what they make him look like. As in, probably like they would keep the little Matrix face like he had in this one. Oh, how great did that look as well? It wasn't just like a hologram. It was like some kind of rudimentary LCD screen, ones and zeros thing with his face. Although
I really
may not be in body the same man. Oh my god, that was awesome.
I loved how like it's an entire room full of old ass computers.
Because that's what they had to work with back then.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I bet you Steve felt at home. You know.
It's like, no, they're not gonna Hydra's not gonna go in there and give them some sort of updated Pentium Dell or something. No, it's a room full of old ass computers that somehow is still surviving in 2014. That's awesome.
You know what I thought maybe when the credits were rolling, what I thought maybe the post credits scene could maybe be is like it would go to some Hydra facility or something somewhere and it would be full of machinery and everything, and somewhere a screen would come on and Zola's face would appear and the machinery would get up and it would be a robot and off it would walk and it would walk and it would go off screen, but the camera would hold, and then in the background Ultron would be there and he would just be hanging there deactivated or something, and it'd be like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. has robots or something like that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of ways, and there, you may have just answered the question as to where we're gonna get Arnim Zola.
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna have a story about robot bodies coming up very soon, it's even less of a leap to get the idea that Zola could get a robot from somewhere.
He could be in Avengers too. There you go. He could show up at some point, have a minor role after whatever they have to resolve in Avengers 2. Hey, guess what? He's still around. I want to get the captain. I need to get the revenge. You know, or something. I loved it when he said, oh, I'm Swiss. That was great.
First of all, I am Swiss. Yeah. And he is, too. He is Swiss in the comics. Like, this is just great.
Yeah.
I love Barnum Zola because awesome. He is so off. Just like he's such an insane creation, like from the mind of Jack Kirby in the 70s when he was just completely unchecked. It's such a bonkers but brilliant idea. Now, the other thing I lost my shit at, it's actually not Batroc, Nicole. The other thing I lost, he's awesome too, but the complete loss of shit occurred when the eye patch came off.
That was one of those moments like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I mean, you have to keep both eyes open. And he lifted and I was like, you know, I mean, like, I just couldn't see colors for a moment after that. I was just like, I had just been half blinded by the, like, I couldn't focus on what was happening in the film for the next 30 seconds or so because I just grinned and I looked at Jeff and I just grinned and I looked back at this guy and I looked back at Jeff and just grinned.
I half for a second thought he was going to pull like a gun out of that eyeball.
I mean, I thought maybe there was going to be something in the socket. Yeah.
No, it'd be like some sort of metal vein he pulls out and he plugs it into the wall and it like hacks it or something. I don't know what's going to happen.
A back-up retinal scan of his messed up eyes.
I don't remember. Was it in Winter Soldier where Nick Fury died? Because I don't remember that.
No, that was in... Nick Fury died a bunch of times. He never, died. He just sort of went off the grid after Secret War, and then he was gone.
Like I said, I don't remember that in Winter Soldier when I read it. That was
That's like we were saying. Like this, it doesn't really owe much to the graphic novel at all. But what it does do, and this is something I said to someone recently, was that it's still as a story the closest thing that I would come to actually calling any of the Marvel movies an adaptation of a story from a graphic novel, you know? Mm-hmm. None of the other Marvel movies are really about taking a story from a graphic novel and putting it on the screen in any way. They're about taking a character and its concepts and finding the best way to put it on the screen. Like, Iron Man 3 owes nothing to Extremis. You know, Extremis exists, that's it.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, although the story is really nothing the same, it takes the idea of the Winter Soldier. And I think the cleverest thing about the whole film is the way that it uses the landscape of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as it is after the end of Avengers and the end of the preceding two films, and it exploits like these unfinished plot threads, like the World Security Council. Like, I mean, I've always said that if you ignore the Thanos teaser, Avengers 2 is setting up the World Security Council to be like the next bad guys for Avengers 2 or whatever.
I don't think so now.
No, I never expected. I didn't expect Captain America to be the film that tied that up.
Yeah.
But they
Jeez, I didn't even link those two together to now. Oh my god.
Yeah, they exploit these leftover situations and these character relationships and everything, and they map the basics of the Winter Soldier story onto them to create something that is better's the wrong word, but far more organically grown out of the film universe than just the idea of taking a graphic novel and putting it in the and just making a film out of it would be. It's probably like the best example of a film within a shared universe that we'd have had since Avengers. No probably about it. I mean, it is. It's the best film. It's the best of Phase 2 anyway, whatever else you want to say about it being the best of the Marvel movies.
Oh yeah.
And it's such a perfect expression of what the advantages of films set in a shared universe will be and how they can work together like that. It doesn't put a foot wrong. Like I say, there's nowhere where I can say, oh, I wish it had done X, or wouldn't it be cool if Y. Anything that I say like that is just nerdery.
No, I've got something to say.
Oh.
All right.
What this
speak your piece.
No, this is just selfish. Yeah. Part. I just when he was going through, you know, his Smithsonian area, I was just hoping for something with Dum Dum Dugan. I'm like, he was I wanted a flashback. I'm like, where's my Dum Dum Dugan? Where's Dum Dum?
He was a Howling Commando. He stood there with him.
But I wanted to see like a flashback.
I like that they went out of their way to say that none of the Howling Commandos died in battle. Just like they just had the
only Bucky Barnes.
Only Bucky Barnes died. Yeah. The rest of them were stone cold badasses who can all potentially appear in the Agent Carter series we're totally working on. It's like what that was code for.
You want if you ever want to see me lose my shit, it's when Dum Dum Dugan will come on the screen. I will go completely crazy.
I think we can pretty much expect some Dum Dum in the Agent Carter series.
God, yes.
Oh, I hope so.
Now, like, what I thought was, like, really cool about this movie is like, after, I guess maybe after Avengers we started hearing about, it's like people saying, like, you know, we need a Black Widow movie or a Black Widow and Hawkeye movie. Or
we do.
How about a Nick Fury or a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie? Well, you kind of got all of that now. This was a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie.
This was a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, yeah.
This was a Nick Fury movie. This was a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. This was a Black Widow movie. The only thing that's missing is Hawkeye, which never explained it. I was kind of that's my one thing that I would take back from it is that there's kind of like not a reference. It's like, okay, shit's going down. We need the best of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. I think Hawkeye's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I think they said he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Where the hell is he?
Those gigantic automated battleships are raining death upon Washington D.C. Somebody shoot an arrow at it, no.
Like where he could have been like, I don't know, like, you know, this is a battle that's taking place everywhere across the world. You know, there's Hydra agents revealing themselves everywhere. There could be a mission in, I don't know, Afghanistan where like his guys turn on him and then he has to dispatch them in like cold, evil arrow shooting in the face style, and then DC or something. That's all they had to do, but you know, they didn't. They didn't for a reason, but, you know, that's fine. We'll probably find out where he was in Avengers 2. It's like, oh, yeah, I was in the bathroom the whole time. Hydra hacked the restrooms. We couldn't get out. We were prisoners in the restroom.
Widow, I think we should get a Widow and Hawkeye movie, though. I think it should be like a prequel movie to show us their past together.
I would like to see.
Mm. I would just
because
like
they keep making so many references to it, you know.
Sorry? No, okay. Because what I remember of Black Widow's past, she was involved with Captain America when she was young, right?
Well, they won't translate that into the film universe, I'm sure. But yeah.
I know, but I'm just thinking, so because
they already kind of acknowledged that, didn't they? Because like he was saying, like. Born, what did they say she was born? 1984?
That's another thing. I'm like, he called her Natalia.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Which character?
Wait, but he was scanning him, and he...
Yeah, Zola, I think, called her Natalia Romanoff.
Yeah.
That's her Russian name. Natasha's just her natural name.
So I thought that
American
was kind
name.
Of...
Yeah, like Natasha Romanoff is her like Americanized name. Natalia Romanova is her natural. I'm such a fucking nerd, Jesus.
Because what I remember, this is what I remember. I thought her and Cap were supposed to be around the same age.
She was a child during World War II.
That's true. Okay.
Because in the comics, she even. Like back, like in what, like the 60s and stuff. She was an agent then.
Yeah, she's a communist.
Winter Soldier. Yeah, she worked with Winter Soldier on things. They had that relationship
I thought that's where they were going to go with, you know.
Well, I mean, was anybody else like really afraid that they were going to try and do something with her and Cap?
No,
I don't know if that's just decades of Hollywood programming, like getting into my straight white male brain and making me think that they were maybe going that way, but then
no,
like,
because
thank God they didn't, you know.
Yeah,
the movie Cap is not Black Widow's type. Trust me.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Like for a second, it was there. I mean, I even saw it for a second. I thought in Avengers, because like when you've got like the scene where it's like kind of like just him and her fighting, and you have like, yeah, there's the dude in the Iron Man suit flying away. There's the Hulk over here doing this thing. There's Thor doing this thing, and they're like on the ground. It's like, yep, back to back fighting. I could sort of see like scenes for. I'm glad they didn't go in that direction though.
I'm like she and Bucky shack up then after a while in the comics, so they may want to go that route. But yeah. I would say they probably won't go that route.
Isn't that after Bucky becomes Captain America?
Yeah, well, it's sort of as he becomes him, but yeah, after the death, yeah. But they probably won't go that route because they've got the whole Hawkeye thing to deal with there.
So, like, talking about that, like, you know, Bucky becoming Cap in the comics, was there ever a moment in this movie where you thought, I wonder if they would go in that direction? Well, like, I wonder...
Sebastian Stan has been signed to a 9-picture deal.
What?
So, yeah.
Really?
So maybe.
Because, like, right before I saw the movie, or maybe it was right after, I saw, like, the news where it's like, Chris Evans wants to quit acting. He wants to focus on directing. And I was like thinking, okay, is this why they're introduced in the Winter Soldier?
Backup
Cap's ready if we need him.
I saw him on an interview, and he's like, no, people took that interview wrong.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to quit acting. He wants to pursue directing as well. And everyone's like, oh, he's going to quit so he could direct and produce. And he's like, if I want to act, I'll go act. If I want to direct one day, I'm going to go do directing. He's like, I just want to try out different things. He's not quitting acting, though.
Yeah. I remember reading that it's like, I think he's only got, as far as like his deal with Marvel, he's only got what, like 3 movies left? Cap 3 and the Avengers sequels?
I've seen some theorizing that maybe the reason they simply signed Stan to such a big contract is so they don't wind up in this problem in the future with him.
Yeah. Because you're kind of like in that problem with Iron Man now. It's like, maybe we should have signed, I don't know, some other young guy to be in Iron Man.
I know, right? What happens next with Iron Man? You can't recast. I mean, how do you recast Robert Downey Jr. and what he's done with that role?
You know how you recast Robert Downey Jr.? You up his pay.
But he'll get old.
He will get old. And I don't want to see Robert Downey Jr.
Well, then they could pull Batman and show him training, you know.
I don't mind if they do, like, a future Iron Man story.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the final days of Tony Stark.
And it's
Captain America's got like an eye patch, and Thor's missing an arm.
Yeah, robot arm. He's got the destroyer's arm attached to him for some reason.
For some reason, Scarlett Johansson still looks fine.
Exactly.
You know, she has
plastic surgery is great in the future. It works better on women than it does men.
But yeah, I'd be down with that movie if they wanted to do that. But
the Last Avengers story.
Last Avengers story.
Okay, I need to talk about one of my favorite moments of the movie.
Yeah.
When there was a standoff between Batroc and Captain America. Oh, my gosh. Right. I'm like, the only thing missing was the funky Frenchy mustache.
Yeah. Like, I need Batroc to have his little weird Wolverine mask. And or his ludicrous waxed mustache.
Oh my god.
And or to wear purple and orange. And or to have a ludicrous accent. And I didn't get many of those things. I would have been happy with about 2 of them. And I guess I got purple and orange and a French accent. And that was enough for me.
I wanted the mustache, though.
Of course you did. It's Batroc. But I, you know what? I think I was looking at Batroc. I think, like, Batroc has sort of, with that, I think they've cracked the formula for superhero and supervillain costumes on film, which is you can basically do whatever the hell you want below the neck and above the waist, as long as they're wearing ordinary trousers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of,
Because he's got a purple and orange jumpsuit on his, I'm like, what is that
I
for a mercenary?
I need to watch it. But when they were on their standoff, I'm like, we're going to get some good action here.
Oh,
because
yeah. That was wicked. I mean, the action in the whole film is pretty great. Really fast and furious. But Batroc just is right in there.
I was just like, okay, here we go. This guy is a martial arts expert. We're going to see some good fighting. And I loved it.
It was all in the kicks as well, because they never went into him being Zilipel or talking about. I don't remember if they talked about Savat or anything, but he fought with his legs and it was great.
Yeah.
And he didn't speak any English so that they couldn't have a ridiculous accent. But like they really nailed the character in such a little thing. Like it's the same way when Hawkeye first appeared in Thor. And it was like, you better hurry up and decide what you want to do. I'm starting to root for this guy. And I was like, oh, that is fucking Hawkeye. Oh, I'm sold on this guy.
For the longest time, I'm like, is that Hawkeye? I don't know. Because they never said his name in the movie.
He was Barton. They said they wanted Barton, didn't they, in Thor? they named him Barton.
I think they said Barton. They said Barton, but they never said, of course, Hawkeye. So people were like, you know, Barton or something is what he said. People were like, oh my god, it's Hawkeye.
But like, they nailed Hawkeye with that one line that got me on the side. Yeah. And it's the same with Batroc when you get that wonderful glimpse of his weirdo mercenary honor where he really respects other strong fighters, and it's like, I thought you were melted, just a shield. And then Cap is like, he puts the shield on it and he replies in French, like, let's find out. Shield goes on the bag and then he just and it's like, yeah.
I love that flip kick then.
Oh my gosh, that was so beautiful.
Batroc the Leaper was in a film, you guys.
I wish that scene was just a little bit longer, because, man, and the mustache.
And the mustache. You know what I like about it is that, okay, so Batroc had a slightly, I mean, he was in that, we saw him being interrogated again, and what he did factored into the plot, but that scene did basically exemplify something I've been asking for out of a superhero film for years. I thought we were still some distance out from getting. And I've said it on the show before, which is that I've always wanted a superhero film to start with some schlub supervillain doing something. The hero, you know, knocking their plan out as their big heroic action opening moment of the film, and then that character just not having anything else to do with it again. I want like Spider-Man 2.
That needs to be Spider-Man. I was just thinking that right now. It's like,
that's what I want.
So many
I want
villains.
Spider-Man 2 to start with. It might. We don't exactly. There are three baddies in Spider-Man 2, so we don't know how it's going to go. Yeah. But my ideal vision of it is like camera swoops in across the city and closes in on a bank, right? And camera's closing in on the bank doors, police cars pull into shot on either side of the bank doors.
Exactly, what you're trying to say.
And then boom, the doors come flying off the hinges. The Rhino comes stomping out of the bank, sacks of money in hand. You know, maybe flips a police car or something, or maybe it's the Shocker. I don't know, blows the hinges off.
I was thinking,
you know,
Mysterio, but I think Mysterio
has just enough cred to maybe carry a film on his own, maybe.
Okay.
Rhino and Shocker are true, like, schmo villains. And then Spidey comes down, lays him the frig out in a short action sequence, webs him up to a lamppost or whatever, and that's it. He's not in the film again.
But then, when you
need to do Secret Six in two films' time, you've got a guy you can just put in there who's had nothing to do. You know, just do that. But superhero films, they don't quite live yet in a world where the fantastic is that commonplace. You know, everybody still has to have some justification.
I was going to say, I always thought that they were going to do something like that with, when we go back to like Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, I was thinking, yeah, we've got Spider-Man 1, we've got Spider-Man 2. By Spider-Man 3, I feel like this world is enough superheroish, super villainish and all that you can just have, like, you know, the Rhino robs a bank in the first 5 minutes and then he's not in it. Or you can have the Mysterio come out and say, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he punches him and that you know, glass helmet shatters and webs him to the tree.
I would want more from Mysterio, but somebody like the Looter. Or the Shocker, or
Pasty Pot Pete,
the Trapsters, yeah, something like that. But the superhero films—they still live in this world where that thing is not quite commonplace enough that everybody needs an origin. But then I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I was watching the Blizzard episode, and that just pissed me off because it was the Smallvilleest fucking episode. Where it's a college student who invents a machine that gives him the power that can control weather.
But that's like the last episode I saw. Have they resolved any more on that?
No, they've left it hanging there. Same way they left Graviton hanging there.
Oh, really?
But Graviton is somebody big. Like, you do an origin for Graviton. Blizzard! There's no reason Donnie Gill couldn't just strap an ice gun to his wrist and go and rob a bank, because that is what people do in this universe. We are 9 films deep at this stage. It's okay to put an ice gun on your wrist and rob a bank. I don't need to have some long, complicated story about how another student bullied you into using your weather machine to threaten the faculty. Jesus, it was the Smallvilleest friggin' episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I think S.H.I.E.L.D., I would describe S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a troubled show. I'm watching sort of more out of loyalty. Although, to be fair, since it came back from the mid-season break, it's really pulled the socks up. But
it's really been better, yeah. I think that, especially, like, the episode, like, after Cap, I was like, oh my god, shit's happening!
And the fact that it turns
it's
out,
going
like,
down
that,
now.
That the whole series has been made with the foreknowledge of what was going to go down in Cap, like.
Yeah. It makes the show
built it all in there.
More important. It makes it feel more important now because, like, yeah, I do not love the show, but like you said, I'm probably doing the same thing, just watching it because
I still need to catch up on it. That's me.
I mean, my problem with it, just to digress and talk about it for a moment, is I freely admit I am approaching the show from a completely illogical standpoint, and I'm not even taking into account any problems with characterization or plotting or dialogue or anything. My beef is simply that, and this is a completely illogical beef. But you have sold this show to me on the promise that it is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe where people wear costumes and have powers. So I want real Marvel characters in this show doing real Marvel things with powers and costumes. I don't want a show about Joss Whedon's six made-up fan characters. And, I didn't see Deathlok coming. I mean, that's been pretty cool. But
I didn't see that coming either.
And they've done pretty well with Deathlok. He's got a weird costume. He's got a missile launcher in his arm. He's got a robot leg. He's got a glowing red eye. Why doesn't he have a fist thing? Yes!
Yeah, I was going to say, he needs his face to be set on fire. And then the skin come off.
He's all scarred and everything. But, like, in the second to last episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., they do the terrible Smallville-y thing again where they x-ray him. And, oh, look, there's the shape of what he looks like in the comic under his head. It's exactly what they did to Cyborg in Smallville.
Just slap a thing on his head.
Come on, guys.
Okay, I understand. But I figured the reason that they did that is because that's like a teaser. And I think that, like, at the end of this season, maybe that skull is going to get split open or something. We're going to see that. I don't think they're going to do the Smallville thing. They've done the Smallville thing, but I don't think they're going to keep it that way. Yeah. I don't think you tease something like that and not pay that off in some way.
I mean, Smallville.
If you don't, then screw this show. I'm just going to say screw this.
Smallville was only ever tease. You know, it was about going, do you read the comics? Do you get that? Do you see that? Do you see what we did there? Whereas this is like, if you read the comics, you'll see what we're building to.
They didn't have to
give him a wicked sweet robot leg or a purple and or a red and blue outfit or a red glowing eye or a missile launcher in his arm, but they did all that stuff. And so you would like to think that at the end of the Blizzard episode, it turns out that the explosion of his weather machine has given Donnie ice powers. But you better have a friggin' costume on and be trying to rob a bank by the time you come back in season two, buddy. I want costumes. Costumes is what I want because we live in a world of costumes.
Just to take like a real quick second, you're talking about Smallville. I think the show that's actually doing it right, and you may disagree with me on this, is I think it's Arrow.
I think Arrow's doing it right. I've still not watched any Arrow, but by all accounts,
watch Arrow.
It's the next thing in my Netflix queue. I am going to watch it now.
This season's been
everything I am seeing is like. Yeah, I was like, you know, they're not full blown.
Hey, you know what
costumes?
His villains wear? You know what his villains wear? They wear costumes.
Yes.
Hey, you know what?
Stroke, like,
he's not
really
learning to be
like
Green Arrow. He is Green Arrow. They just don't call him Green Arrow.
Sure.
You know what? He's not like got powers and he puts a T-shirt on. No, he's running around in a hood. He's shooting some others with arrows. That's what he's doing.
Okay, I just reminds me, talking about costumes and going back to the movie.
Yeah, we should again. We keep.
Oh, no, I know. But this just reminded me. I love Cap's first costume he had, you know, the blue
event.
And silver, because that's a tribute to the real S.H.I.E.L.D. like kind of look back in the day, you know?
Yeah. Where it's like where the super soldier,
it's like a variation on the suit he wore after he came back from the dead, but before he started being Captain America again. But it's a great design, but like when he puts on that first Avenger suit again, I say this as somebody who literally watched it back-to-back with Avengers, I'm looking at it, it's like, it's freaking ridiculous how much better the first Avenger suit is than the Avengers outfit. just seeing them up there back to back, like the, you know, it's like, yeah. It was nice to see what they did in Avengers and everything, but the more you look at the Avengers, with its little
that classic is better.
Oh, yeah. It's so much better. And we've seen
it, and it's cool because, like, we didn't really talk about that much, but like with the movie. Like his suit, like I know he's like he's a part of like a black ops type team,
yeah.
But it's so dark looking, and it kind of like parallels the movie. It's like America, you know, the government. It's really become like this dark place. And then like it's kind of like, you know, he puts that suit on, and it's like, yeah, you know, now he, because he even said at the point, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to stay with SHIELD or go. I disagree with what they're doing. And then when he puts that suit on, the classic suit, he knows what he's wanting to do. It's a really cool moment, I thought. It really kind of parallels the film. Yeah.
Okay, and how happy was everyone when he saved Bucky? Oh my gosh. And
then, but Bucky, like, who was surprised?
I know.
I mean, you know, to be honest, I did wonder for a second, are they doing a death of Cap thing here? Because I wasn't sure if Bucky was going to go for it or not. Because
he got shot a couple of times, and
he got shot a bunch.
Yeah, and I was like,
Are they going to do it? Kill him, and then he'll remember, and he'll be like, "Oh my God, what did I do?"
That is one part that I'm just like, okay, he got shot. I know his body regenerates a lot quicker than most people. But he's not Wolverine generating.
Yeah, that was I was thinking that in the cinema. I was like,
he's not Wolverine.
He was down for a while, and I was like, you know, he is.
Yeah.
This is Prometheus level recovery from injuries.
That's because he's awesome. Yeah. He's a super soul.
Well, I know that he can heal quickly and he doesn't get injured quickly, but I'm just like, that's Wolverine type healing.
Yeah. You know, something that we haven't talked about, which I feel kind of bad about not talking about, is like, how much did you like Falcon?
That's exactly what I was going to say. We got to talk about Falcon. How great was he? Falcon. Like, yeah. I mean, perfect.
I love Sam from the moment that he's
that actor, like, he is that character. I mean,
I was thinking,
how are they going to pull this off? And they did it the way you're supposed to do it. Introduce him out of the suit.
Yeah. Just keep it simple, stupid. Character. Like, it's like, you know, what was it in the 70s? He was what? He was like a community outreach activist or something. It was the 70s. It was relevance, you know. But then it's like, it's still the same basic idea, is that he's trying to help people. And it's just a beautiful, simple distillation of the idea of the character. He's trying to help people. Also, wicked sweet birdsuit.
Yeah.
That costume design was gorgeous.
I mean, if I'm being like, it would have been nice to maybe have some red and white in it and not go this straight up ultimate black.
I would have loved to
have
seen some red in it.
Yeah, just a little red.
I don't think
they
could have pulled it off.
No, they could never have made it red and white, no, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it is supposed to be a military... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I could see him maybe pulling off maybe in like the next movie, but it's kind of like what we're talking about, baby steps.
Yeah,
you know, Arnim Zola, he's a computer screen. You know,
no,
Falcon,
he could be a robot, yeah.
He's got this kind of urban kind of, you know, this suit that was kind of, you know, prototype suit, you know. Okay, we're going to put some color in it in the next one.
Well, they kind of did that with Iron Man 2 and 3 what's his name? Holy crap.
War Machine?
War Machine. Yeah. I'm like, I want to say Ironmonger. I'm like, no.
No, wrong guy.
No, that's not it. Yeah, wrong guy. War Machine. And then,
It is a military suit as well, the Falcon suit, so the fact that it's black is not logical or anything. How great was it that they didn't bother to waste time just showing them steal it?
They're like
it's Captain America and the Black Friggin' Widow. We do not need to see an elaborate sequence of them laying out a couple of GIs to steal the suit. You know, they did it without too much trouble getting on with things.
They did that great job they threw Sitwell off the roof. That was awesome.
Oh, man.
I was like, holy shit,
Sitwell.
What's going on? And then, like, he catches him, and I was like, all right, that's awesome.
Also,
That's a good style.
Like, and who saw Sitwell being a part of Hydra?
I did not see
that.
Surprise.
That did come out. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like I was just happy to see Gary Shandling again from Iron Man 2,
awesome.
And I was like, oh look, there he is. And then they're just having that freeform chat, and then they lean in, and it's all like, oh. I mean, I think I don't remember. I think I made that noise in the cinema. I think I went, oh.
made me so happy when it turned out that that guy was a Hydra agent.
I know, right? Like, you were like,
he's a crap in Iron Man 2. He deserves to be arrested. He is a Hydra agent.
That's another. It's one of those great. That's another example of the little links that were forming in the films. Because like, so they go to the museum, and it's like there's a quote on the mural wall from like President Michael Ellis, and I lift an eyebrow, yes, and I'm like, why did they make up a fake president? Why did? Oh, because he was in Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
that's why they had to make up a fake president, because they've already established they got a fake president in Iron Man 3.
There's your universe.
Your universe is growing. Speaking of Sitwell, Stephen Strange.
Oh, yes. That
I was going to get to that. Like, all the references that we got in it. I didn't catch it the first time.
I caught it twice.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it twice. I heard Banner, like, you know, when Sitwell was like, yeah, who knows, you know, blah, 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 you know, Banner. And then I didn't hear the third name. Then the second time I heard it, I was like, wait a minute. Stephen Strange.
Phase 3, anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's gotta be one of our...
Like you said, their universe is just growing and growing and growing. And like now, I didn't even pick up on the whole Sharon thing and Crossbones until the second time I watched it. I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah, I mean, Crossbones is an odd one because, like, they pull him out and he's all scarred and burned. And I'm like... Well, Crossbones isn't scarred and burned. Why did you do that? You know, it was like they were justifying that he would wear a mask in the future or something.
Yeah,
but it's like the closest they got to insinuating he was Crossbones was when he was fighting the Falcon and he was wearing an outfit that had like the two straps crossed across his chest. It was like Crossbones.
And I didn't even catch it.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. But yeah,
I didn't catch any. I didn't like that. I thought, God, that guy's just a shitty guy. He's just a shitty guy. That's all I was thinking throughout the movie. I didn't think he was an actual character,
it's all they need for Crossbones. It's just like he's the shitty guy. He has the muscle for the big villain in black, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah. What were some, like, I saw some other like little references to things. Like I saw Avengers Tower when they were targeting things. Did you see anything else? Like, did you see like? I don't like names. I didn't see the names because it went by too fast.
On what?
The targeting thing for the helicarriers. I didn't know if there were like names of people. I didn't catch any.
I caught some, but it wasn't anyone that.
Yeah, none.
I just assumed one of them was Tony Stark because they were targeting Avengers Tower. You know,
he was one of them, and I didn't see any that weren't pre-existing things in the universe. There weren't any like references to Reed Richards or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it would have been funny if someone was watching that movie and that was their name. Because some of the names were pretty common, you know?
I'll see somebody run out of the theater screaming.
Hail Hydra, Hail Hydra.
Oh, side note, I'm a geek. I'm just going to tell you this right now. Back, you remember like
we're doing a podcast on comic and comic book movies. Yeah. I think we've already established that we're
grading on a curve. You're a nerd because.
Well, no, this will. I'm just gonna cop out to this. Back when like X2 was in theaters, it's like they did the thing. Like, remember, you know,
the little drop down menu,
it's like, oh, if I think too hard, I'll kill people. And they switched it from mutants to humans when they switched it to like to humans. I wanted to stand up and start screaming and go. Ah! I thought about it for half a second. I thought I just did this. Then I thought I'll probably get escorted out of the theater, so I'm not going to. All right.
Oh.
I'm done. To the movies.
Well, I think we've just descended into freeform nonsense at this point.
Yeah,
we've never done that.
So, can anybody else think about anything they want to say about the movie?
I just want more Dum Dum Dugan. That's it. That's it. That's my only request. Okay.
If and when Agent Carter happens, I think you can pretty much guarantee that.
Oh yeah.
Yay.
So do we know for sure that that's happening? Because like I saw the one shot, and I know they've been talking about it. But do you think it's hinging on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has like a bad season or something, you think they'll be like, yeah, we're not going to do this again. It's like, we're good.
Less hinging and maybe more me saying, get one show right before you start making more.
Yeah.
But then there,
because I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back for a second season, right? Didn't they confirm it's already?
I don't know. I don't think I remember hearing it. I don't remember hearing any word about it in the second season.
I don't know. That's why I was wondering, because like if this show is kind of lukewarm to people, probably making another S.H.I.E.L.D. shows is probably not a good idea, even though I would dig the hell out of it. You know?
I mean, we know we have had the announcement in the time we've been away that Marvel have these Netflix TV shows in the works.
Yeah.
What is it? Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and
Jessica Jones,
that's the other one. And then there's going to be a Defenders like miniseries that'll bring them all together, like a mini Avengers thing on TV.
Huh.
And I can get with that, because those are, I mean, like, how many times have we used, like, every single one of those names on this show to describe a TV project that Marvel should be doing?
Probably
100.
They're stealing our ideas. They are welcome to them.
We
want to
get paid for it.
I would just tell me where the Kickstarter is so we can get Themyscira high. I will donate probably $2 because I'm broke right now. But my God, if I don't know if it's just because I just need some sort of crappy Smallville show fix, and I think that would be great, but
I am a prince can face the dangers of man's world. Derp de derp de teedly tum. Classic. I was just thinking about Themyscira High earlier today as well. In advance of the show, it just came into my head again.
It does not help to reintroduce Wonder Woman to a modern audience, but my God, I would have loved it.
Okay,
it'll probably do more for her than this damn film that's coming up.
let me tell you this. Okay, another off top. I went to the movie yesterday with a friend. I'm like, I'm going to test you out on something. I'm like, you know who Wonder Woman is? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, tell me her origin story. She's like, I don't know. I told her origin story. She's looking at me like, are you serious?
Which origin story?
I told her how she was made of clay.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's Wonder Woman? And I'm like, yeah.
I hate that origin story. I've never liked that origin story. I'm totally more on board with her being like the sort of daughter of Zeus or something else, you know, made from clay. I think it's like, what is that? How is that an origin story?
Yeah,
just decided to just make a kid one day out of clay.
Why not?
Sorry.
Well, I think Gail Simone did some interesting things with the idea of that in The Circle. But the made from the secret daughter of Zeus thing, it's not hugely original or anything, but it's very telegenic.
It's like
it's a bit young adult novel-ish.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it totally turned out that she was the son of Zeus, daughter of Zeus all along, and she had the secret powers, and she must bridge the two worlds. You know, it's... It's like it is your Hunger Games, your Divergence.
It's not perfect, but
there's nothing wrong with it. It's just
if she's gotta be special, which I guess she has to. I guess she just can't be like, well, you know, she ate all that, you know, the mascara food, and that just makes them strong. There, you know, it can't be that. So it's gotta be she's gotta be the strongest. She's gotta be the best on the island. Well,
I think
you know,
we
she's
can.
Zeus's kid.
We can pretty much take as read, I think, that the child of Zeus thing will be in whatever they do with Wonder Woman on TV or film. I think we can probably take that as read as being what they'll do with her arc.
They're all pulling from 52, so
yeah,
it makes sense.
I mean, you know, I have no particular attachment to Wonder Woman, but it as a simplification of the origin, and well, we've said it in this show a million times before, Wonder Woman needs simplifying. There's a collection of a lot of muddled concepts that have gone into Wonder Woman's history, more so than a lot of other comic book characters. And there's a lot of confused iconography and what the character really means. You know, she's a lot of things to a lot of different people. But we've said it on the show before, talking about Wonder Woman, now what happened to Captain America? It's like
she wears the red, white, and blue. I mean,
that'll do. She's the most popular character from DC that nobody knows anything about. Wonder Woman is famous for and known for what she represents to to like where she's the female superhero, and that's what that's what Wonder Woman is famous for being. That she is girl superhero.
She's got awesome bracelets and an invisible jet. Come on.
I don't think anybody actually knows her for that. Every time I see a joke about the invisible jet on something, I'm like, does anybody actually get this? Does anybody know what that is? Who cares?
On her lasso of Family Guy. Everyone knows about her lasso of truth, right?
But that's like,
I'd like to think so.
This is like whenever like the Lego movie makes a reference to it or whatever, or Family Guy makes a reference to it, I'm thinking, you're basically assuming that the children watching these programs have seen a 1970s cartoon. Because, like, where the hell
I wonder how many of them are watching that go straight to YouTube. I wonder if they go straight to YouTube. It's like, I don't get this. Wonder Woman, Invisible Jet. And then they see, like, a clip from, like, the 70s show or the 60s show. What was it, 70s or 70s?
It was both, I think.
And then they just go, huh. And then they turn it off and
boy, Wonder Woman is dumb. Click. And it's gone. Well, anyway. Well, Wonder Woman, that's a whole other podcast. We'll fix Wonder Woman on another podcast. for we are the idea makers, and we are the dreamers of the dream, and you should all listen to us.
Exactly.
Right, so maybe some closing thoughts on Captain America, then.
Who are you asking?
Anybody. Mm. Go. First come, first served.
Here, I'll go. I thought it was very well done. It wasn't a perfect movie, like I said, but it was so much fun. The casting was awesome. The setting was great. The pace of the movie was just what next to Avengers, this is probably my favorite Marvel movie. So,
closing thought on Captain America, just real quick. He took out a jet with his shield.
And I think they were. Now that you've said that, it just reminds me. We haven't really talked about like what this drew on. It's like, because that's right out of Civil War. Cap takes down a jet with his bare hands.
Yeah, that is, isn't it? I remember that.
And the idea of Hydra secretly existing within and controlling S.H.I.E.L.D. That's right out of Jonathan Hickman's Secret Warriors.
Huh. Okay.
So all these ideas are a really, you know, they pull on, but. You know what I've literally just realized as well? Do you know what we have not talked about at all?
Mm.
So, like
Captain America?
Oh, you're talking about Steve Rogers.
Yeah,
he's actually not in it that much. There's like scenes where he's not in it for like a good 20 minutes. Like that chase scene with Fury, where they're going down the road trying to get him. He's not in the movie for like 10 or 15 minutes right there.
But I don't want to like not talk about him in this because I don't want to foster the idea that Captain America is boring or plain or that there's not much to the character, which is this silly idea. There's this great quote from there was an editorial about how Captain America is boring recently, and
he's not.
I know he's not at all. But there's this fantastic rebuttal of it. It's called In Defense of Superman or In Defense of Captain America. Some people were drawing some comparisons with Man of Steel and making the point like that Captain America is able to make the character work without compromising his values the way Superman did.
Yeah.
You know.
Cap is so – it works so well because, I mean, he's the man out of time. I mean, you basically got his character in that first couple of minutes of the movie when he's talking to Falcon and he has a list.
Yeah.
The list of things he missed, and I love it. Star Wars / Trek.
Oh, and I found out today there's different lists for different countries.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there are. Oh,
yeah. Different countries have different things on there.
So McFeely actually got different stuff than we did.
Ours had Sherlock and Sean Connery in the 1996 World Cup final on it. You know, stuff like that.
That would be a cool deleted scene. I hope they put that in the DVD just so I can see.
Yeah, on there.
Yeah. See, like all the other areas, I would love to see those.
Yeah, I was hoping that it's just complete tangent again, but it's like, you remember how there's extra scenes on Iron Man 3 in China, and they didn't put those on the bloody Blu-ray?
They didn't. I was kind of wondering why they didn't do that because it's interesting. I mean, I heard they're shitty. And they're not.
Yeah, I mean they probably are, but I mean it's important.
But it would have been nice to see them.
Like, one, the extra material deals with, like, like there's a heart surgeon at the the conference that Yinsan tries to introduce him to, and then he's the guy who removes the shrapnel at the end. And the idea is like he's a heart surgeon who's invented this super advanced like method, and that's why he can get the shrapnel out. And it's like you could have put it on the
instead of he just decided he to just do decided it. To do he it. He could have done it two movies ago based on our version.
Yeah.
You know, he just didn't.
He just didn't
want to, but like in this version, it's really, really dangerous. Yeah. You need the top surgeon to do it or something is what it was. Yeah.
So I do hope they put them on the Blu-ray.
I could tell you right now, Captain America won the hearts of every woman in the theater when he was talking to. Oh my gosh, I lost her name.
Peggy.
I wanted to say Jenny. My mind's bad with names these days. No, when he's talking to Peggy and he's like, I couldn't not talk to my favorite girl. You're just like, oh my gosh.
Love him.
Evans just plays it so perfectly, you know.
When they announced him as Cap, like I wasn't sure because in everybody's mind, you know, he was Human Torch. He did a good job with that.
He was a perfect Human Torch. He was really great casting for the Human Torch. So who would have thought? But here we are.
Yeah, and I didn't think, but like then you see him in that movie, and like you see him as like the scrawny Steve Rogers. I was like, God, they got it. They got it. That's him. You know, it's awesome.
He's completely genuine and earnest. And there's just this complete aw shucksness about the character that it's never cloying. You know, you don't roll your eyes at it. You're not embarrassed by it. It's such a genuine performance. There's a fantastic quote from Greg Rucka that gets bandied about a bit whenever topics like this come up. And I couldn't recite it verbatim or anything, but the basic gist of it is like that. If you are the kind of person like who dismisses a character like Superman or Captain America or thinks they need to be reinvented because the idea of a hero who does the right thing just because it's the right thing to do is unbelievable to you, the problem is with you, buddy, and not with the hero. And
I still have a problem with Superman. I always have a problem with Superman.
Yeah, but is it for
that
reason?
That's my thing, because you pretty much know what Superman's going to do.
Did you know he was going to snap that dude's neck?
Yeah.
Well, the movie's different, okay? I'm talking about actual factual comic book stuff.
And then they go and they do something that's uncharacteristic of Superman and people complain.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
One thing I want to talk about, Cap, though, before we leave is, you know like how when Cap was in Avengers?
Yeah.
He was?
But I'm saying like, you know, that okay, so he shows up, he's in Avengers. At that point we kind of don't believe he's the leader. You know, Iron Man's kind of the leader. Yeah. You know, when I look at it, I think Iron Man's the leader. This movie made me feel that Cap's the leader now. He like came into his own, even like with the scene with Nick Fury saying, you know, so you're calling the shots now. You know, and then Steven says like, you know, SHIELD's dead, you know, and we there's no coming back from this. You know, we got to take them all down. You know, I felt like that's the point where it's like, all right, he could be the leader. He could be the character where in Avengers 2, something happens, whatever happens, I don't know, Tony Stark gets knocked out. His armor is being controlled by Ultron.
So
they need a leader. Steve freaking Rogers steps up to the plate because I believe it now because I saw it in Winter Soldier.
I'm still ticked off Age of Ultron is before Ant-Man.
Well, I think we've known for some time now that we can probably expect no real Pym involvement in Ultron. I mean, we know that the Vision is going to be in Age of Ultron now, and we know he's going to be played by Paul Bettany, who's been the voice of Jarvis in the three in all the movies. So, I think we've been speculating some involvement of Stark and whether will Ultron just be evil Jarvis, and I don't want that, but. I mean, I think that, again, it comes back to Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which we mentioned at the start as well, but Earth's Mightiest Heroes, I think, offered up the most wonderfully simplified idea of the whole concept, you know, which is that, because Hank Pym's always been a rubbish, nonsense scientist in the comics anyway, he is just a scientist of all trades who is good at whatever the plot requires him to be good at. You know, he's not like a Reed Richards who has a specialty, or an Iron Man who's an engineer or whatever. Hank Pym is just robots, shrinking, insects. What do you need? What do you need this issue? And Earth's Mightiest Heroes had it that Tony built the robotics, and it was Hank who programmed Ultron using the brain pattern research he gained from trying to communicate using his brain waves with insects. And yeah. That's great. And if you need to offer up if you just want to be vague about where the programming for Ultron comes from, and then maybe do something about it with him later. I mean, it seems like such a chronic thing to lose from Ultron, because the whole Oedipal aspect to Ultron is what makes him not just a killer robot. I have faith in Whedon not to balls this up, but to make it not Pym seems like it's a big chunk out of the character of Ultron, but I am willing to wait and see how it goes.
I wonder if it's a case where we're being told there's an Ant-Man movie, there's an Ant-Man movie, there's an Ant-Man movie. Oh yeah, Hank Pym's not going to be in the movie, Hank Pym's not going to be in the movie, and then we get something that surprises us. I mean, could it be that they're telling us all about Ant-Man, and they're saying, oh yeah, Ant-Man's all the way over here, and this guy's doing it, and he's separate, and sorry, he's not going to be in Avengers. Could it be that they're telling us that so that we don't expect it? That we don't see something?
Maybe.
Because they're good at surprising us. They're good at giving us shockers.
It's true. But then Hank Pym is old in Ant-Man. It's like the Ant-Man in Hank Pym. It's not Ant-Man, it's not Hank. You know, Hank is Michael Douglas.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking I hadn't kept up with it.
Oh,
so,
you're not
okay.
No, no, we've got – it's Paul Rudd is playing Scott Lang as Ant-Man.
Oh, Scott Lang. That's an interesting choice.
Michael Douglas is an older Hank Pym. Hmm. Hank is in it, but he's like a mentor figure or something.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm confident. I think it'll be good.
Marvel, at this point – Marvel have earned my suspension of disbelief, you know? You want to put a talking raccoon in a film, whatever, and you're going to have Batroc in a Batroc, cool for it, cool, whatever.
Talk it's
like,
gonna...
whatever, like, it, at this stage, it's like, you have earned my trust to believe that putting Batroc the Leaper in a film will work out okay.
Have you seen that little meme that's been going around? It shows Wonder Woman crying on Superman, and it's like... That's DC's view. World's not ready for a Wonder Woman movie. And Marvel's view of movies. Here's Talking Raccoon.
I do chuckle at that joke, but I think it simplifies the issue tremendously, because the thing about Rocket is what you see is what you get. You don't have to find a hook. You don't have to invent something or simplify something down to sell Rocket. It's a talking raccoon with a gun. It sells itself.
He sounds like Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
his buddy's a plant. Well, a root. Not even a plant, basically a root.
That's not important to the idea. You put Rocket on the screen and it lives or dies by that. It sells itself. There's no challenge in it. Wonder Woman does need some very close scrutiny. Wonder Woman does need to be handled with extreme care, and simplification is required. I've laughed at the meme, but it simplifies what is a legitimate issue, I think.
Yeah.
I still love it.
Well, I think that's probably that then, isn't it? Ow, 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 cramp in the leg, fuck!
Well, you guys didn't say your views.
I suppose we didn't. Sorry, no, I was like, oh, we're done, and I sat up, and I just got friggin' cramp. Ah!
I'm sorry, I laugh at your pain.
Yes, thanks.
So you mean views, did we like the movie? I love the movie, if that's what you're going to say.
Yeah, what's your final thoughts?
I thought it was great. It met everything that I wanted it to be. Because I was kind of worried about, okay, when you take Cap out of the 40s setting, is he going to work? And I love Cap in a modern-day setting because, I love that his character is, I'm the man out of time. You know, it's a simple thing, but it works great because you have all these characters. You have like Tony Stark in Avengers, who is like this, I'm smarter than you. I know this world, but he's like too smart. And Cap's like, it's simple. There's right and there's wrong, and this is wrong. He even says it in the movie. This is wrong. You know, we're basically punishing the bad guys before they've done anything wrong. And it's so simple, but it works. It's what makes him a great character. And I loved it. I thought it was the best way to make the modern day Cap movie. And I can't wait for Cap 3. I am looking forward to it.
I got one last thing to say. How much working out did all the guys do in this movie? Oh my gosh, they're all buffed up. They look like they've been poked with a tire pump.
What happened?
Huge.
This will probably be on the DVD. You probably didn't hear about this, but it turns out that like the scrawny Steve Rogers, that's actually Chris Evans now. The big monster Chris Evans, that was all CG. CG's amazing now. We can build Transformers. We built, you know, Captain America.
I'm talking even Bucky. He got pretty
Yeah. He was
in good shape. That dude was cut.
Well, and Sam too. I'm not kidding. They had some good trainers on that set. What about you, McFeely? What's your final?
Well, let's see what can I add. It's easily one of Marvel's best. It's in the top three, if not top two. Objectively. I mean, I have odd soft spots for other films, but there's just no denying the successes of this one. I've said it a couple of times during the show. It just doesn't put a foot wrong. It's uncommon that I'll watch a film and I won't go like and legitimately think I really wish that they had done X because of whatever, whether it's just whether I think it would just improve the film or anything or whether it's nerdery. But anytime I say that for this, it's just really persnickety, nerdery things. I mean, it just nails everything it sets out to do. It takes a storyline and it adapts it so perfectly into a pre-existing universe, and it draws on all these great little bits of other lore, and it wrong-foots you. Like the Red Skull idea, like it just, you're well within your rights to think it. What's going to happen? I don't know. You've got Jenny O'Gutter doing wicked kung fu and everything in there. What about that bit? it's just great. I mean, like literally, the only thing I could say against it is the way that it just sort of sweeps the issues that the second half sweeps aside the issues that the first half raises. And that, you know, that's all I can say against it. It's a top tier movie, and it's the best of Phase 3. It's going to be one of the tent poles, and it's probably the first real Marvel movie to prove that you can't, much like Nolan's Batman movies, is that and the veiled issues that there is, you know, that you can really tackle real life issues with these films, even if they do wind up simplifying it down for punching and explosions. Yeah. I mean, the thing about the Marvel movies is that they've all been, I've said it loads of times before, is that I think with Iron Man and upwards, they proved that you could do things that were fantastic and exciting and brightly colored and witty and action packed and just joyful and fun, and not, you know, grim and dark and toned down and real world and reined in, if you kept things grounded in the characters. And that is what, you know, even in a movie with a scope as big as this one, that's still what they managed to do. It still comes back down to the characters and so many characters that they just get so right in the course of the movie. It just doesn't go wrong as a film. If you haven't seen it, you really need to. And if you feel like this, I've said it before to other people, is like, I know some guys who don't like the first Captain America, and it's not like it's an incredible piece of filmmaker or anything, but I know some guys like who just hate it outright and call it, you know, think it's terrible. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you'll have to say about this, but it's like, basically, if you don't like that, or if you don't like this, then they'll never make a Captain America film that you do like that will be true to the spirit of the character.
Yeah.
You know, there's no better translation of the character than these. I mean, of the first Captain America, I always say that I think the first Captain America movie has the single best idea
in the whole of Phase 1 and probably the whole of Phase 2 about adapting a character into film, and that's the USO show.
That part.
I think that is just stone cold brilliance. Of like in the comics, it's like, well, we have a super soldier now. Put a costume on him and put him on the front lines, and that's it. You know.
I'm just waiting for the Captain America costume to come out with the pirate boots.
Well, little folded over lapels.
Exactly.
You know, if Avengers didn't get there, I don't think we'll have to worry about it.
Because Avengers too.
I'm watching Avengers, and like, there's that scene after the big fight on the helicarrier where he's relaxing, like, in, well, not relaxing, but they're cooling down after the fight, you know, and he's just put an ordinary shirt on, but he's still got his costume pants and boots on, and it's
yeah.
the most ridiculous looking thing. This cherry red boots, and it's like, yeah, kinky cap, that's real nice.
I just want to see pirate boots Steve Rogers, that'd be awesome. And I needed my mustache on Batroc.
I guess he did have a little
mustache.
He had facial hair, yeah. But yeah. It was not that crazy waxed mustache, Capitan. Fight me now with my legs.
Apparently that guy's an MMA fighter.
Yes, and blooming hell, could you tell? Yikes.
Yes. Wow.
God, I know his name. I can't remember what it is.
George St. Pierre.
Yeah, that guy,
George
yeah.
St. George St. Pierre. There
yeah,
you go.
That's it. Oh, yeah.
Works for me. I mean, he was a wow, you know, just all the kicking. I mean, when I heard that there was an MMA guy, I was like, wow, they really want this to be right, don't they?
And they did.
Oh, they did, yeah.
That rock, yes!
And it was just like, it's like just a single line of dialogue where they were like, you know, he's sitting there and he's talking about killing hostages and everything. Batroc's a great character because he's like he's simultaneously a huge joke and one of the most dangerous characters, you know, one of Captain America's most dangerous opponents, because he's amazingly skilled. But he's a ridiculous French man with a little Wolverine mask. He's very good.
I'm looking at a picture of him now. I did not notice the bright purple and yellow. I remember the yellow stripes. I did not realize the purple.
I know. They cracked it, you know. He's wearing purple and yellow, and he's jumping and flipping. He's got the facial hair. He is French. He's got that mercenary honor. You know, literally all I needed was a waxed mustache.
I know, that's just like, ah, oh, dang it, man, that would've been awesome.
But we could
maybe,
go on and
maybe
on.
Maybe next time. There's always hope.
We could go on and on and on, but I think at 2 hours, that's probably enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll try to cut this down for you, people. Okay,
well, there's the preamble before we started recording properly.
I think it says a lot, though, that we had 2 hours worth to talk about.
Yeah,
there was a lot in the movie. We liked it that much. We wanted to spend that much time talking to it. And you can just—I mean, there's even stuff we didn't mention. Like, I didn't even mention, you know, the Pulp Fiction reference. You know,
was great, wasn't it?
Yeah. So much stuff in
and
this.
The War Games reference.
Oh,
the
War Games. Do you know what I was wondering if they would do it? Because they did it in the comics. Whenever Fury went underground, he would communicate with holograms and stuff, and one of them was Ultimate Fury over the regular Fury. I was kind of hoping that when Fury went underground, he'd maybe put a hologram or use a latex mask or something, and it'd be David Hasselhoff.
Oh my god! That would've been awesome!
Wouldn't it?
I thought I was the only person that remembered David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury.
Hasselhoff's Nick Fury film is awful, but its heart is so in the right place. Like, it's got Dum Dum, it's got Gabe Jones, it's got Baron Strucker, it's got the Fenris twins, it's got the Viper, it's got, who else is in that? I think Agent 13 might be in that as well. It's just got all
the stuff. That was the movie where he had something in his eye. He had, like, under his eye. He had, like, a weapon or something, didn't he?
Oh, I thought you meant like that's just where he wore the eye patch. I got something in my eye.
He's got like a thing. Like he gets, if I remember correctly, he gets like locked up or something. Like Hydra captures him and like some agent. some other SHIELD agent, and then like he has to he opens the eye patch and he has like a lockpick or something in the empty eye.
Yeah. Oh, I just remember that Gary Chalk plays Dum Dum in that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but I mean it's like because like they're like there's no bowler hat and there's no mustache or anything, and it's like Gabe Jones is a scientist instead of a bugle player, but you know the heart is in the right place.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, so I forgot hologram about the Nick Pulp Fury for Cap 3, please.
Yeah. And I forgot about the Pulp Fiction and War Games reference. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But she was trying to explain to it. She's like, yeah, I saw that. The person I went to the movies with yesterday never saw it.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't
I had to explain it to her. I'm like, it's a game, and it's a movie from the 80s called War Games.
Yeah, I didn't catch the Pulp Fiction reference the first time because I didn't look at the tombstone that close. And then the second time I saw him, Path of a Righteous Man.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. No, just, I don't even think we really talked about Black Widow enough, because we did talk about her, but probably just before, because she's handled, like, everyone in the film is handled really well, but she's handled especially well in that she's not in any way some kind of lust object, which is always a concern with these kinds of things.
No, there was one part where, okay, after she was done being, what's her name? The older British lady. It was on the council.
I don't know what her name was. Like Jenny Ogre was the actor.
When she was done playing her, she was in the helicopter and she had her suit on very quickly and very low.
I legitimately didn't notice.
Really? Yeah, like
because by that point, like I was kind of wondering when it was going to happen, but yeah.
I was looking at my friend and I was like, she got out of her clothes really quick.
But she is a spy, so you know she has that ability. It's a skill.
No, but she's played very well. Like there's nothing salacious or lingering here. She's never played for eye candy in any way at all, or she's never the tag along. And there was I had the concern they were maybe gonna go some kind of love interest route with her, but they didn't. You know, she's a totally like valid and warranted character and with something to contribute to the film herself, which like I should not say with so much surprise or shock or anything. It's disappointing that one has to comment on the fact that a female character got that kind of treatment. But it's nice to be able to say. Okay, right. Well, I think we probably better call an end to it there. Right?
We could talk about a half hour about each little individual character in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we talked about Batroc? Come on.
Batroc.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I always say Batroc, but like they were pronouncing it like the proper French way. Batroc.
I'm it's American. Not, we don't do that.
It's not Batroc. It's Batroc. Rock.
Yeah.
Okay, enough talk about Batroc. Right.
Okay. That's all I'm saying is Zemo for Captain 3. Woo!
Yeah, we love this movie. That's all we got to say. Obviously, we spent forever talking about it.
Yeah. Well, this has been another special episode of Fanboy Versus. When will we be back? Who knows? We're here now. Maybe Guardians, maybe Spider-Man, maybe X-Men. We don't want to turn into a film review show or anything, but these are hopefully going well. Hopefully, fingers crossed. These are all going to be hopefully good reasons to do a podcast.
I think we will definitely be here for X-Men.
Fingers crossed. Even
I think X-Men definitely.
I'm saying Guardians. Because
Guardians definitely, but even if X-Men,
because we've
stinks,
got Rocket.
We'll be here to talk about it probably.
Because we loved First Class.
Yes,
you know, this is First Class and Old Class. Old Class. I don't know. That sounded better in my head before I said it.
Right. Well, we will see you all next time, whenever next time is, on Fanboy Versus.
Aloha.
Bye.
This has been a Fanboy Versus review of Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier.